to order and go on to item 9, Health Benefits Advisory Committee, discussion of possible action relative to presentation by representatives of the Health Benefits Advisory Committee regarding recommendations on various employee benefits. Gentlemen.
Well, Board, I'm here, myself and Mike Israel. We're on the Health Benefits Advisory Committee, and we have been essentially asked by the others on the committee to make presentation to the board for a number of reasons. One of them, I also want to say, Christine Kearns from Alliant is also online to make sure that we, to correct us when we misstep, so to speak, or to give us supplemental information. But we're here, I think, basically, to give you quarterly updates because we're... The amount of money that's involved in the budget having to do with the health care benefits to the county, it's very substantial. And you're going to have to make some big decisions. We're going to be advisory to you. And rather than come in at the last minute and say, here's all the information at once, make your decision, we felt it would be better if we would give you quarterly updates, information as we go along. And also, we want to possibly get information from you to return to the committee and maybe give them the direction that would come from you. So this is kind of a two-way street. With that being said, we have some very good news for you. The rates that for health insurance in the coming year are going to be very beneficial. Mike is going to expand upon that. And at the end of this presentation, we are going to have some recommendations for you. And we do recognize ourselves as advisory. So at the end, we will have some recommendations. And I'm going to turn it over to Mike to give you more specific data.
Thank you very much. The medical coverage, is this on? Yeah. Medical coverage you'll see discussed on pages 7 and 8 in your board packet. While many organizations were seeing rate increases for the coming year, coming in at 10, 12%, we were actually very, very fortunate. Based on our experience and our coverage through CSAC EIA, our rate is proposed to increase 0.75%, and it actually would have been a reduction had it not been for health care reform requiring a 1 to 1.5% reinsurance fee of all jurisdictions. So our current plan, the one that we've had for the last several years, is considered affordable pursuant to the Health Reform Act, and so we don't require any change. The committee had also looked into the possibility of a high deductible health savings account plan. That would have impacted our rates for the existing plan that we have by an additional 2%. So we decided not to offer that this year or to recommend that the board not opt for that this year. There just does not seem to be significant demand or any good benefit in offering that option. So we do recommend, the committee does recommend, that we renew the existing plan that we have for next year, 2014.
All right, we're going to go over. Mike just went over the major medical, which is important. I'm going to take care of the dental. He's going to take care of the vision. Want to ask questions when we're all done? Or if you have questions in the meantime of something specific with what we're going over, feel free to ask. Otherwise, we can wait till we're done.
Well, ask them after, I think.
All right. I'm going to talk about the dental. Right now, we deal direct with dental, Delta Dental, and we have a renewal, which will be at the same rate with a two-year rate guarantee, and that's pretty unusual. And that, again, is another positive. The employees... They've wanted a better plan. I don't know how you feel about the plan, but this $1,000 that covers, boy, that can be eaten up real fast by if you have anything substantial you have to deal with your dental. And we're going to suggest that there's options for buy-ups, and the buy-ups would be $1,500 and a $2,000 buy-up. The $2,000 seems to be the most popular. But the thing about the options is this isn't really going to cost the county any money because the employee will have the option of spending the additional money to have the additional coverage.
We do that with optical now, right? We do that with optical now.
And there's, I think we do, yeah. There is also a buy-up option for dental today.
Mm, right, yeah. Right. But when you say it's not going to cost the county anything, I believe your report shows that it, if we were to go with a higher yearly maximum, there's an increase to the cost of the base plan in order to underwrite.
Yeah,
there is.
Yeah, go ahead.
There is actually another option. Alliant noted in their presentation to us that we've been dealing direct with Delta Dental. If we contract with Delta Dental, same provider, through CSAC EIA, because of the pooling effect, we would actually reduce the cost. So if we were to renew the exact same plan that we have right now via CSAC EIA, we would get a 5.6% reduction in our annual cost. But again, for the past couple of years, employees have been saying, you know, our current plan just does not provide enough of a cap per covered person to keep up with the increase in dental costs. And talking to my own personal dentist accountant or bookkeeper, she told me that typical coverage that she sees are $2,000 to $3,000 cap per person. We're still at 1,000. So we asked Alliant to look into that. And via the CSAC EIA coverage, it would add to the cost to the county, $10,744 per year, to provide that $2,000 cap buy-up option for the employees. But we feel that the potential savings that we're seeing between what was budgeted for overall compared to the minimal increase that we've seen in medical coverage, that perhaps some of that could be turned into the dental coverage to provide a better plan for the employees and for yourselves as well.
Hey, Mike.
Yes.
This is Christine. If I might interject, is that okay?
Sure.
On page 23, I just want to direct the board. This is Christine Kern from Alliant Insurance Services. I've been the consultant to the county for the past 3 to 4 years. We had a gap, and we were also your consultant prior to that period for a couple years. If you look on page 23, currently you have 284 of your employees enrolled in the buy-up plan, which has the $1,000 calendar maximum, same as your base plan. So the majority of your employees are already paying for that buy-up. And you can see on page 23, by moving to a $1,500 calendar maximum, it's actually a net cost by moving to the CSAC EIA program. And moving to a $2,000 calendar year maximum, it does increase the cost in the base plan a little bit more, so the total costs are going up 3% on the base plan in order to allow for all of the risk for both plans, base and buy-up.
Is that increase in 3% over and above what we're currently paying or over and above the amount we would pay after signing up with CSAC EIA?
That's a great question. It's a change from the 3% represents a change from your existing direct quote with Delta Dental. So it's a 3% addition to the cost that you're paying today. The CSAC EIA program, as Mike and Jim alluded to, is 5.6% savings.
So what's the net then? I guess.
Yeah,
I mean, are we arriving at a 5.6% savings and then a 3% increase on that, or are we?
We'll have a couple of percent.
If we renewed the exact plan that we have today, we would see a 5.6% savings. It's $19,000-some-odd savings that we would see. If we opted to upgrade the existing plan to the $2,000 buy-up plan that is most popular with employees that have expressed an opinion, it would cost the county an additional 3% above and beyond what we're paying today, and an additional $10,700 beyond what we're paying today.
So the spread then is $29,000, either 19 yes. savings or 10 grand increased cost.
Right. So there is a third option, a kind of a middle-of-the-road option, an increase of the maximum to $1,500, which would, compared to what we're paying today, save the county $606 per year. So that is a less desirable option, but certainly a better plan option than what we have today.
Tim, a question. I'm saving that $600, that would be after switching like from Delta Dental to CSAC EIA?
We would still be with Delta Dental just through CSAC EIA.
Yes. Bigger, yes. Pool of providers.
Right.
Bigger pool of resource.
They're the broker.
So basically, if
CSAC,
you
the, and this is Christine again, if I might interject, the CSAC EIA program with Delta Dental has over 50,000 public agency employees participating in the program. Every agency has their own plan designs, and every agency, like you're doing right now, gets to decide, in their own space if they would like to make any changes to plan design. The value that EIA brings is the leverage of the size of over 50,000 working with Delta Dental to provide the lowest administrative costs that are a function of your fully insured premium. So your rates go down by 5.6% because we're pooling in aggregate all of the lives and getting a better rate component of your rate with Delta Dental.
My next question then would be, so if we offered the $1,500, could they still have the buy-in for the $2,000 plan?
No.
So the option is to have one buy-up plan, okay, and you can keep the buy-up plan the same as is, change it to $1,500, or change it to $2,000. The majority of the costs of the buy-up plan are absorbed by the employee because of the way the calculation is. The difference in the base and the buy-up, 10% of the base costs, plus the difference in the base and the buy-up. And what's written in the memo is that in order to allow for all of the risk for employees enrolled in both plans, the underwriters do add a load to your base plan just to make sure that there's enough premium to cover employees where they enroll. We would assume that all those are the 284 people in the buy-up would remain in the buy-up by increasing the calendar year max, but some of them may decide that they're comfortable staying with 1,000, they don't want that increased cost, and they could change down to the base plan.
But in the end, under both of these scenarios, whether it be the dental or the major medical, you have the net effect of asking those that choose not to participate in either of the buy-up plans to be subsidizing those that do, because the base plan goes up in cost.
Correct, and you're saying that applies for the dental and the vision, not the medical. Okay. All of your employees are enrolled in one medical plan.
Well, the recommendation was to stay that way, but the point was made that doing so to institute an increased, what the heck is the high deductible
right
plan.
Correct.
Increase the cost of the base plan.
Which is why the committee is recommending not going with that option this time.
And that's what I'm saying. In both of these scenarios, you end up asking, if you were to adopt those, asking those that don't participate in the more lucrative plan to subsidize those that do.
Right. And they'd be doing that still at a rate lower than in force. So if we look at page 23... your current rate for the base is $45.75. If you move on a single rate, if you move to the buy-up or the scenario that's the last one on that page, the employee currently pays $4.58 for the base plan. And if you move to the plan with a $2,000 buy-up, which is that last scenario on the page, the employee will pay $4.71. So they're paying 20 cents or 10 cents, 12 cents, 13 cents different. Sorry to have my calculator out. Big math problem. In order to give the majority of employees the opportunity to have that buy-up plan be 2,000. Because you can see not many of your employees, 58 of your employees are on the base and 284 are on the buy-up.
And the employee participating in the buy-up would be paying $18 out of pocket?
On the $2,000 calendar year maximum, they would pay $17.91, a single rate, $35.40 for a two-party and $56.43 for a family.
Mm-hmm. And we have 109 people, employees, on the family.
Correct.
Plan now. which increases the cost to the county from $42 for employee only to $133 for family.
I'm sorry, could you repeat that?
I'm looking at the potential for the $2,000 buy-up plan.
Yep.
and the cost differential to the county, whether they're covering the cost of an employee only versus an employee with family members,
mm-hmm.
moves from $42.39 to $133.47. So,
no, it moves from $129.58 at the top to $133.47.
The 129 is what the county currently pays for a family.
He's looking from single family differential.
Right, but I wasn't looking at the differential.
Differential just between 1500.
Yeah, so one of the things you might want to note, you're right. Currently, the county pays $129.58 for a family. Moving to the buy-up option, which is a $2,000 calendar year maximum, the county being $133.47 for a total additional cost of $10,744. But if you look at the $1,500, the middle scenario on that same page, the county would actually be saving $606, or 0.2%. So it's about the same cost, almost exactly the same cost as you're paying today. But employees on the buy-up would have that additional opportunity for $500 additional in calendar year maximum. So one is same cost, and the $2,000 is an additional $2,000 calendar year maximum plan on the buy-up is an additional cost to the county of $10,744.
Understood. Thank you.
I say we're going to... giving you these options and would have our recommendations, but it seems like you understand that option. But what we haven't said is that you need to be aware that August 14th is the day the decision has to be made on this. We are going to make a recommendation and suggest you make a decision here pretty soon. The advisory committee recommends the dependent age limit be raised to 26, consistent with the medical coverage. And apparently that'll have no effect on the rate structure either. And, Mike, was there something to do with this forms with the Affordable Care Act?
Right. For medical coverage, the Affordable Care Act requires that coverage be extended to include those up to age 26 still living in the home without the need to provide proof of dependency or school enrollment. So the committee will be making a recommendation that for the sake of consistency, that be approved both for the dental and vision coverage.
And it won't have any effect on the rate structure?
Not on the rate structure, but will it have an effect on county expenditure?
It could.
If somebody
has family coverage right now and that's child that would age out remains at home for longer,
mm-hmm.
they'll be covered as a family as opposed to a couple, you know, for another year, two, 3 years, whatever.
And this is Christine from Alliant. Overall, the pool with EIA has determined that adding the dependents to age 26 does not have a direct impact on the rates.
No, not on the rates, but anybody with a child that's 18 years old now is going to cover that child, or their county is going to eat the majority of the cost of covering that child for the next 8 years.
Your plan is, you're correct. So if that person does not have family coverage today, if they're a single and they're adding somebody, so that would therefore make them two-party coverage, or they're two-party and they add their child on, that would make them family. So there could be additional costs associated there, which also would have applied on the medical. So Lisa, I don't know if Lisa Gaby's there, but she might be able to give you an idea of how many people added someone when this was changed for the medical last January.
He's not here with us, unfortunately, but this is already required for the medical coverage. This would apply on a voluntary basis only for dental and vision coverage. So the hit's not quite as big, but it is something to consider.
Chuck, how does that the August 14th date, how does that impact our decision? Do we have to make it today so you can go to meet and confer, or can meet and confer happen after the August 14th date?
I think we need to meet and confer before the 14th.
So basically, you need a decision today, then.
Yes, sir.
Well, the decision could be discussed through the negotiation process with the board in closed session. You don't need to make, the board doesn't need to make a decision today.
Or, Greg, can't we say that the board also agrees with some of the issues, say, like on the dental plan with the committee, but the other issues it doesn't agree? Can it say something to that effect?
The board could. Yeah, I'm just saying it doesn't have to. Okay. I think as far as that dependence up to age 26, I think I've seen somewhere I've seen some information. I think that's required under
for
affordable care.
For medical coverage, it
for
is required.
Medical, but not for dental and vision.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Anything else, gentlemen?
Yes. Right, just briefly, vision program, there have been no significant issues raised by employees. The renewal is at the same rate. We don't recommend any change except for the continuation of coverage until age 26.
The county provides a life insurance, and there's no rate change to that. Some employees are interested in additional coverage, and page 27 is rates for employees to purchase additional coverage, and this would be at their own expense. There would be no additional cost to the county, no effect on the base, and it would also be no meet and confer. And the committee has recommended that you give employees the option to purchase additional life insurance through them at what is stated, at no cost. So it would just be an option to employees.
The employee assistance program, we have not had any significant issues raised. There is no change in the rates. Alliant did point out, however, that there is supervisory training available that the county should take advantage of so that supervisors are aware of all the services that MHN provides through our assistance program.
All right, and I think general information. The Affordable Care Act, it requires coverage. Health and coverage to the employee within 90 days of the hire. The California Assembly Bill 1083 requires coverage within 60 days of hire. I have it written down there too. Mike puts these initials down. I don't know what them. Law enforcement. The person they now enroll on the first day of the first month following the 30 days of employment. That meets and exceeds both. The committee is recommending that all employees would enroll on the first day of the first month following 30 days of employment. We figured this would make it a little bit easier for the auditor's office, be consistent. It's a little bit early, but it would make sure that we would meet the requirements. And it becomes real complicated. Oh gosh, we were talking about if it's not done this way, then if their 60th day falls on a weekend, would you have to bring it up before? So we were just trying to make it easy and consistent by suggesting that all employees enroll on the first day of the first month following 30 days of employment.
I agree with you, Jim. We had some lengthy discussion on that, and I think. I think that the committee recommended, and with the help of our departments, both HR and the auditor's office, that this would be the best way to go and to keep us out of trouble.
Yes.
And okay. Out of trouble.
So hypothetical, they don't meet probation, so we're going to let them go so then they can apply for COBRA?
That was my question, is what's our probationary period and how does it relate to this?
It's 1 year. Probationary period is 1 year.
So, I mean, whether we enroll them 90 days after hire or first day of the...
Is that the same situation?
Yeah.
Probation, always 1 year, is it 6 months in some areas?
1 year of the department.
Every 4 years for us.
It's 1 year for a new hire. It's 6 months for a transfer. So, yeah.
All right, gentlemen, anything else?
Well, just in order to recap, the committee recommends that we renew our existing Blue Shield coverage through CSAC EIA. The committee's recommendation is that Delta dental coverage be via CSAC EIA pool with the $2,000 buyout option. That the board authorized raising the dependent age limit to 26, consistent with the medical plan. We do not recommend a change in the vision plan except raising the dependent age to 26. We recommend no change to the existing life and AD&D except to allow for supplemental coverage at the expense of the employee. And we recommend no change to the employee assistance program except to encourage personnel to conduct training or establish training for supervisors on the benefits offered by MHN. And again, to reiterate, the decision whether to go through CSAC EIA for Delta dental coverage would need to be made no later than the 14th, and I think you can discuss with counsel and the CAO how and when you make decisions on all of these recommendations. Is there anything, any message, any direction that the board members would like us to carry back to the committee?
I thought you said 1,500 on the Delta dental, and you just said 2,000.
The committee's recommendation is 2,000. There is a $1,500 option.
I understand.
Midway,
yeah.
Right.
Okay. We went with that. That would be the $600 savings.
$1,500 would be the $600 savings, correct?
Right.
I think the board will take this under submission in a closed session, but before that, we need to ask if there's any public comments. Hearing none. Then thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you, and the committee, thank you.
Thank you. Yeah,
thank you, guys, and I want to say thank you as a board member to the committee. It's we meet, and we meet often, and I appreciate all the input from the committee. Thank you.
All right. On to item 10 on our regular agenda, the minutes of June 11, 2013.
A couple changes.
Minor?
Some might be a little bit substantial. I think in their public matters, there's some minor ones there.
I think at
CalPERS, in that CalPERS paragraph, it says unnecessary expenses being borne by government employees. I think that should be taxpayers. But I didn't say government employees.
Okay.
Yeah. Reading my notes.
Also, there is a, I'm looking for it here, under page 8, Supervisor Plath stated some Proposition 177 money should be Prop 172. And page 9. Second paragraph talks about reduction contract with ENS resources, state lobbyists. That should be federal lobbyist rather than state.
Correct. Good catch.
And also page 10, somewhere where Richard Forster is talking about the CSAC issue, I think somewhere should say, says talks about legislative session. Should be something that just that denotes that it's California, not federal or whatever. Just put California there somewhere. And next paragraph down, talking about that same issue, motion. It was moved by Supervisor Netto, then goes down towards the bottom of the paragraph. Talks about lowering the local voter threshold and suggests consideration be given to utilizing existing local transportation revenue for streets and roads rather than local transportation as it is currently expended. Like it should be. Change that wording for streets and roads rather than local public transit, possibly. So cross out transport. Cross out the.
I think that was the intent. Local transportation.
That's how it is currently expended. 100% of it's going to public transit.
Yeah, but it says local transportation. Now that could be roads and everything else.
Oh, correct.
If you guys wanted it for roads instead of public transportation.
Right.
Transit,
but yeah, locally, local transit or local public transit.
Yeah.
So change local transportation to public transit?
Yeah.
I saw that, and you really have to, it is a little bit of a stretch to infer transit from transportation there, so.
You know, just above that, in the motion, it says Assemblyman Barry Hill and Bigelow. I believe it's Senator Barry Hill and Assemblyman Bigelow.
Yeah. Right.
Yep.
On page 6, went through a series of motions there, and John, you recused yourself on the second part, but on page 6, Ryan, you recused yourself on motion number 1. Says seconded by Supervisor Plaza and unanimously carried. It wouldn't have been unanimously with Brian recusing himself. But I did note that he recused himself there. But on motion number two, I believe you recused yourself from there too, didn't you?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So it should note that Supervisor Ornato recused himself on motion number two, and again that
unanimously
the motion was not unanimous, and that he recused himself.
I could be unanimously with the ones that were present.
I don't know. Is unanimous the whole board?
Maybe we could go to the number form.
The board clerk just sort of mentioned that had been the practice. You could characterize it that way, but essentially abstained, so it would be, you know, whoever's present voted unanimously. You could have board members.
Right.
I think that would be correct.
Yeah, I think it's more clear to say that than just the vote was carried rather than say unanimously. To me, unanimously means the whole board.
Or you could do 401.
And we can agendize that for future discussion.
I'm getting bureaucratic here.
Let's take it into a close session.
What has the past been, Madam Clerk of the Board? What has the past been? Unanimous as board members present.
Leave it
as it is.
Yeah.
If we're going to do that, then we have to note then that Supervisor Ornato recused himself on each of those votes. So.
That's correct.
Action minutes, not done.
One last comment on number 11, page 11, excuse me, the first action item where we asked the CAO to clarify, issue a press release and clarify for the taxpayers. It says, as they apply to Amador County, to clearly clarify this issue for the taxpayers. I think if you just leave clearly out and just clarify this issue, it probably reads a little better.
That's clearly clarify.
You can very clearly clarify. Extremely clearly clarify.
Clarify clearly?
Yeah.
You can literally
just
clarify.
Just clarify, please.
Okay. With that,
I would make a motion to approve the minutes of June 11, 2013, with the changes as just discussed.
Second.
Moved and seconded to approve the minutes as amended. Any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Motion carries. Board will the board will recess this meeting now until 1:30 when we'll come back for our public hearing on community development block grant. So the board will go into closed session at this time and then probably break for lunch somewhere in there.
You're all welcome to hang out in the air conditioning.